Welcome to No Fear CDI, the podcast that helps clinical documentation specialists overcome the fear of physician conversations and take their CDI game to the next level. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. This is Glenn Krause with another highly informative podcast related to CDI. We call it No Fear CDI because CDI really shouldn't have any fear of change. They must transform the profession because of AI, and we're going to be diving into that just a little bit. But today, I have the privilege of having Dr. Ednan Naz and Dr. Jacob Martin. Dr. Naz and I have worked together for several years now. He's going to introduce himself. And Dr. Martin, we've worked together, believe it or not, since 1997. And we're still talking to each other, which is a good thing. So Dr. Naz, why don't you go ahead and just give a brief bio, then Dr. Martin, and we'll jump right in with the, because I'm excited to kind of have this conversation today.
Yeah, Glenn, thank you so much. My name is Ednan Naz. I'm a physician advisor with a background in clinical operations, medical informatics, and documentation integrity. I spent my career helping bridge the gap between clinical care and revenue strategy. Really, my focus has been on how strong documentation supports both better patient outcomes and organizational sustainability. So, you know, this is right up my alley. I'm very excited to talk to both of you today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Martin.
Great intro, Dr. Naz. My field is emergency medicine. I have been retired from it for some years and went through a 12-step program in order to be able to excavate myself from the area. In the last 25-plus years, I've worked in the space of clinical documentation integrity programs. And I share Dr. Naz's objectives. I think he is one of the cutting-edge personas that we will see in the next decade in the CDI space.
Absolutely. And thanks for joining me today. So I think we want to start with this. Okay. And Dr. Naz came up with this great concept. So I want to, and Dr. Martin will jump right in because he always has comments and tidbits that are wonderful. So Dr. Naz, tell me, what should the focus of CDI be? Because, you know, you've seen my post on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And you see how I'm trying to advocate and promote the idea. Or the not notion, but the necessity to get away from queries as the structural framework. So what are your thoughts on the CDI focus?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Glenn. You know, I'm excited to get into this. You know, I think we're seeing an important shift in the world of CDI. It's we're going away from this reactive, code-focused querying and towards something much more meaningful. You know, CDI, as we've known it traditionally, has focused on capturing CCs and MCCs to optimize reimbursement. It's valuable, absolutely, but it's very transactional, right? So communication documentation excellence, the way that Dr. Martin puts it, is, on the other hand, it's about telling the patient's story clearly, right? Not just for coding, but for the next provider, for the next nurse, for the discharge planner. It's about that continuity. It's about that clarity that we're ultimately looking for.
Dr. Martin, any comments on that?
I agree. I think quintessentially the record, medical record, is a clinical interdisciplinary communication tool. If it's not that, it's nothing. And if it is that, it's everything. All the functions, all the side reactions flow, quality metric reporting, utilization review case management activities, better substrate for the coding professionals, more time for the physician to spend with the patient, lessened professional liability risk. So there are a lot of outflows there. But I think that if we make it the emphasis rather on CDI, we turn it to CCE, clinical communication excellence. And I think Dr. Naz is an expert in that area.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that that's where we have to turn now.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. You know, I like to follow good old Dr. Lawrence Weed's examples, right? Patients are not just cloned in the image of textbook cases, right? Every patient's story has to be told in their own terms. And you know, when we talk about documentation excellence, We're not documenting to be just meet these billing rules. We're documenting to communicate, to make the next decision easier and to make it safer. Right. It's that strong, clear, clinically sound documentation. It improves care. It holds up under payer scrutiny. It's a kind of narrative that can ultimately help us prevent denials. It can help us eliminate unnecessary queries, and it can ultimately guide the care team. So really, you know, in this era, we don't want CDI professionals to just be auditors, right? We want them to be a part of the story, the storytelling, as we want physicians to be part of the storytelling and facilitators of care.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Some thoughts regarding the documentation excellence. Okay, how would the CDI person make that transition? We spoke about this earlier. What ways could CDI inquire and acquire the skill sets and knowledge base to become communication documentation excellent specialists, if you want to call it that?
Yeah, for sure. I think there are some key differences we should highlight from today's model, traditional model, mm-hmm. to the communication documentation excellence model, right? In the traditional model, we're looking mostly at retrospective, whether that was done yesterday or last week.
That's right.
Documentation excellence really means we're talking about prospective, real-time, real-time look at patients' records. In the CDI traditional model, we've got reactive queries after the fact. We've got to move to proactive, right? Guide and educate providers on what that documentation is supposed to look like. The third area is really about revenue-focused DRG, CMI type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get into the care-focused arena, right? We've got to be talking about clarity, safety, and continuity of the patients. That's going to get us beyond DRGs and CMIs. That's going to get us to real quality. And the next area is really about the way it's operationalized, right? It's typically isolated in HIM, or it's isolated into finance, the CDI, these CDI departments. But we've really got to get them integrated back into clinical workflows, right? Interdisciplinary rounds are a great place for CDI teams to be involved. To be hand in hand with providers, across the spectrum, whether that's case management or nursing or physicians, being a part of those workflows is going to help them get to that documentation excellence.
Right, and I believe without a solid story, Dr. Martin and I speak about this all the time, and maybe you can add, Dr. Martin, without solid documentation, starting in the ED, to show the patient's story, what brought the patient in, how did it manifest, what did the patient look like, okay? What was their clinical status in the ED as compared to when the ambulance came? How did they arrive? What were the pertinent, abnormal labs and other radiology reports and tests? What was done with the patient? And what was the status of the patient when a decision was made by the ER provider to call the hospitalist to see about admission? And then that's a good starting point. Without that information in the chart, you're going to get a denial. I've reviewed 50 cases at a recent hospital, and more than 50% were attributable poor documentation in the ED. Dr. Martin, you had a comment on that?
Yeah, I agree. Two things. One, the medical necessity is often established in the emergency department. Mm-hmm. If that foundation is there, then it goes forward, and it's made much easier for the attending physician who admits the patient to understand, yes, there are complex clinical factors which reflect the need for a heightened level of care. I want to backtrack a little bit. Dr. Naz noted, how do we achieve this? Documentation and communication excellence, it's collaboration. And we've all, and he's noted, we've all operated in silos forever and ever.
That's right.
If you go to the multidisciplinary rounds where everyone is there, including pharmacy reps, PTOT, everyone involved in the care continuum, then you have an opportunity to get a holistic view. But it has to be done proactively and preemptively, not reactively. And I spent about an hour yesterday with two CDI nurses, and we reviewed a chart one-on-one. It was a chart that had been a level of care downgrade. Principal diagnosis was sepsis. Secondary to UTI. So we went through it piece by piece by piece. And every day, no significant adverse events. Doing well. Hemodynamic is stable. The night before, on the second night, there were four elevated troponin levels obtained from 3 in the morning to 7 in the morning and an EKG. Never mentioned. All elevated, and there was at least a 20% variation. We lose that story because we get into these copy and paste interval histories. And I asked them, I gave them questions. I said, one, do we have the documentation in this record to support an inpatient level of care? And the answer was no. Do we have the documentation in this chart to clinically validate the proffered diagnosis of sepsis? No. It was consistently documented, but there was no sepsis-related organ failure dysfunction explicitly linked to the diagnosis of sepsis. And three, do we have the medical documentation that we need to provide medical necessity for the services provided? Because oftentimes, if it's a level of care downgrade, the ancillaries get billed. Well, if I've got an EKG and four troponin levels, did I have any indication for that? There's not a diagnosis. There's not a note. There's not a nurse's note. There's not a free text note. So I ask them, do we have the patient's complete clinical story? And no, we didn't. That's the way they have to look at this. And luckily, these two nurses were UR nurses before they were CDI nurses. And I said, if we can't establish the medical necessity for that level of care, you can put your typewriters, your keyboards down. You do not need to query anything because that's it's not right. going to be information. And Dr. Zellum, one of our colleagues, has said, you know, if you can't establish that medical necessity for that inpatient level of care, CDI is irrelevant.
Yeah, then go home. Pack your bags and go home.
Yeah.
Do you agree, Dr. Dr.
Yeah, this is where I get excited. You're going to start to hear my voice change a little bit. You know, payers are just simply no longer satisfied with just a diagnosis being
that's
made.
Right.
They want to see the why. And denials are increasingly based on clinical validation, not just the coding.
That's right.
So it's important that, you know, as Dr. Martin mentioned, clear clinical reasoning in the documentation, that's our best defense. Along with the UM teams, I love that these CDI nurses had been UM nurses in the past, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, there's so much in this that UM involves, right? It involves reviewing medical necessity, appropriateness, efficiency of services. That proper UM team, which should go hand in hand with CDI, reduces those unnecessary admissions, prolonged length of stays, and claims denials, right? In order to get there, we've all got to be talking to each other, right? We've all got to be understanding that better documentation is ultimately going to improve continuity of care, readmission prevention, denial avoidance, and the peer peers, and right, and all of this accurate level of care assignment. So I'm 100% with you. I could talk about UM all day. And what does that clinical path look like in the revenue cycle, right? From the door, as Dr. Martin mentioned, a lot of this stuff is happening in the ED all the way through the floors. What does level of care look like? And it doesn't look good if we have a lack of clear linkage between patient symptoms, findings, clinical reasoning, and interventions.
Yeah, which brings me to my last area we want to focus on. The challenges. Payers are increasingly downgrading inpatient admission to observation. I see it all the time. DRG downgrades are out of control. Some hospitals are receiving so many, they can't keep up with them. Because the evidence doesn't show the severity of illness or intensity of service, And of course, we have clinical validation denials. Dr. Martin, what do you say, Dr. Martin, about diagnoses?
Well, the insurance carrier medical director's mantra is, it ain't so just because you said it so.
That's right. It's so true. I mean, you see, doc, and what really gets to me is when we query a physician after the patient leaves. Dr. Martin, you and I agree. Any retrospective query is going to be denied.
You're just teeing the ball up. They're going to knock it out of the park. It's
That's
not
right.
consistently documented. If it's a high severity diagnosis, it begs the question, you didn't know about this until the last day?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And of course, the financial impact and even the recoupments that occur 6 months to a year later. You know, the payers contract out to different companies. One of them begins with a C. And they get commission percentage of what they find. So they really are egregious in sometimes. But on the other hand, they're correct because the record is not supported. What do you call the diagnosis? The top seven? What, Dr. Martin?
The Sinister Seven.
What are they?
They're the high severity diagnoses that most often result in DRG downgrades, and they're just the type of thing that give you the St. Louis blues every time you see a denial letter. Sepsis, acute respiratory failure of any type, acute encephalopathy of any type, severe malnutrition, acute renal failure, NSTEMI, and pneumonia. And I noted that Nas had also noted severe hypertension. We don't see that quite as frequently, but we certainly see it. You know, a lot of these denials, whether they're level of care denials or whether they're DRG downgrades or medical necessity denials, we start to think sort of collectively that these are arbitrary and capricious. And maybe some are, but you know what? In my experience in the last 10 years, the majority of the denials of any type that relate to clinical documentation are self-inflicted.
That's right. I agree. I definitely agree. That's why I've said more than 50%, and we'll close with the next question or topic. More consistently, I'm seeing more than 50. Why I don't say 60% is because oftentimes I'm on the fence. The documentation is pretty good. Could it be strengthened? Which doesn't mean more documentation. Yes. So there are clear cases of this is not, this does not meet hospital level of care.
Right.
Those that I'm on the fence a little bit. Okay. So I think it's safe, based on my personal experience or chart reviews, more than 50%. So what are some documentation strategies?
Yeah.
This is where rubber hits the road. We
Yeah.
talked about documentation excellence. We talked about what the focus should be. What are the challenges with the denials? How do we act, implement what Dr. Martin calls proactive, preemptive denial avoidance? We don't want to manage denials. We want to avoid them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to dive into this.
Please.
Since our focus today is really on CDI and their relationship with a clinician, I'm going to give a few documentation tips to prevent level of
Yeah,
care
please.
denial. You know, the first is really don't just write the diagnosis, right? Show why. What made
Describe.
the patient unstable? What would have happened if this patient was managed at a lower level of care? That's number one. Number two, document the objective findings, oxygen saturation, lab values, neurochecks, telemetry findings. Yeah, the stuff exists, but did you document against what exists in the labs? That's number two. Number three, show intensity of service, right? What were the IV therapies, frequent reassessments, complex nursing care, BiPAP, cardiac monitoring, et cetera, right? These are the types of things that are going to show the level of intensity. And then the last one is really use phrases that ultimately align with the criteria. You know, again, we're not out here to make doctors coders, as the people say often, right? Or we're not trying to make them, write anything that is against what is clinical. But it is important to write things like requires inpatient level of care due to ongoing risk for deterioration, or close monitoring required due to rapidly shifting electrolytes, an AKI, right?
That's
These
right.
are the phrases that are going to get us the appropriate level of care. So, you know, I just want to say that what is CDI's role in this, right? We know that CDI professionals can no longer just focus on CC and MCC capture, right? They have to understand payer behavior and level of care logic the same way that we're asking UM teams to understand this logic. They should educate providers on how to strengthen documentation at the front end to prevent those downstream denials. And then lastly, look, queries are fine, right? But they're reactive.
The transactional, repetitive. Yeah,
right. So the goal should always be about that proactive clinical storytelling. So, you know, I mean, just to kind of wrap this, sorry, I'm talking too much, but, you know,
is good. This is what we need to be relaying to the CDI professionals.
Yeah, for sure. You know, every denial is a teaching opportunity, right? We're not saying you're never going to get a denial. We're saying that you're going to learn from those denials. When we combine the science of clinical criteria with that art of documentation, we protect revenue, we reduce administrative burden, and most importantly, we ensure our documentation reflects the real complexity of the patient's condition and the care that they received.
Dr. Martin, any thoughts on that?
I mean, it just goes back to the clinical story. If you're telling it, you have to also include your rationale. We've talked about this a number of times. An invitation to the carrier to deny or a level of care is simply this: your interval history, no new complaints, doing well, no significant adverse events overnight. And you look down at the physical exam, and the person does have an O2 stat of 96%, but they're on 10 liters per minute with a non-free breather mask and BiPAP. So we need to have something sort of a dot phrase in that interval history, despite doing well with no new complaints and no significant adverse events overnight. The patient still requires supplemental O2 at 10 liters per minute with a non-breather mask and BiPAP. Those are the things that we don't see. They are there, they are inferred, and I've had doctors tell me, well, you know, they could see that in the rec. Yeah, but they're not going to look for that in the
rec. No, they're not going to look for it. It's not in the chart with open, close sign.
You've got to spoon feed these
folks.
That's
right. That's right.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, absolutely. So I just want to say, or just relate a couple of things, then we'll close, that CDI needs to rebrand itself, re-engineer, reinvent, reposition, because AI, we read about it, we're getting inundated with newsletters, AI does this, AI does that, but I'm seeing firsthand demos of software that's going to reduce the need for CDI. Is it going to eliminate it? No. It's going to require the repositioning of the CDI to become educators, facilitators, guides, mentors to physicians, and working with physicians hand in hand. And another topic for another discussion is remote CDI. Dr. Lemhoko and I are going to be recording a podcast later in the week on a hybrid model as the best. So my message to CDI is take this seriously, because I believe in 2 or 3 years, not only me, but Dr. Martin and Mr. Kazuba, John Kazuba and Dr. Naz and several other of my colleague physicians, there is not going to be need for as many queries. Doctors want to do it right the first time. They don't want to get queries. Dr. Naz, any closing remarks? Then we'll turn it over to Dr. Martin.
Yeah, just a good old quote from Dr. Lawrence Weed. Medical records should make thinking visible. That's all I have to say.
Dr. Martin?
I agree. It's Dr. Weed, it was show and tell time. I think we pretty much iterated and reiterated everything we wanted to say today.
Okay.
But I think that if CDI wants to grow and wants to increase efficacy, they need to model themselves after a CQI loop, a continuous quality improvement loop. And you continuously are remodeling. You're injecting new ideas, new operational concepts, and then you're running the iteration. And then you're looking, you're analyzing what was the output. Do I need now to tweak this thing a little bit more? That's the nature of medicine. That's the nature of CDI. It's dynamic. It is not a static issue. They have to change with the times. We cannot be reactive. And Dr. Naz has hit it out of the park. Queries are reactive. And queries, and we've seen denial letters where explicitly it stated that the query resulted in the denial.
Yeah.
You know, that we sometimes the tools work against us. And, yeah. And otherwise, I think Dr. Naz is, you know, he's going to be the pioneer in this field. And I will be watching to see
We're going to be part of this. So that I want to say, folks, thank you so much, Dr. Naz, Dr. Martin. And we're looking forward to the additional three podcasts that we have covering denials, avoidance, and so forth. Couple of things. If you go to the website, core-cdi.com, I have lots of resources and blogs and podcasts and newsletters. Please sign up for the newsletter. Dr. Naz and Dr. Martin, thank you for your time. I really do appreciate it. And folks, keep up the great work in the field.